Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Psalm 145, verse 8. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, 10. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Psalm 119, verse 169. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 169. Most of you are aware of the fact that we've been studying for a number of months now Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. We've made our way through various books of the Old Testament, and now we are in the Psalms. We have been receiving information in recent days in relationship to the importance of allowing the Spirit of God and the Word of God to control and direct us. This particular Psalm, Psalm 119, right in the middle of our Bible, is a magnificent passages of Scripture related to God's plan for all of us. And we're going to be able to see that again tonight. In a few moments, we're going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. To do a little reviewing. So before we begin, let's bow for a moment of prayer together, please. Father, we're thankful for the privilege of opening our hearts and minds to the wonderful Word of God. We realize that we are privileged individuals because not only have we been given this magnificent book, but we've been blessed with the opportunity to be in fellowship and receive the teaching of this book. We're thankful for the fact that we're saved by your grace. We're blessed every day by your grace. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. We have the assurance that you've given us some time on this earth, and the amount of time we have here we're to utilize and to make application of the truths of God as we live from day to day. We're thankful that you've blessed us all so richly. We ask that you'll guide us in these moments of study tonight. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask you, if you will, please, to look at the screen. And on the screen, you will see two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I'm always amazed at myself for what I forget to tell you. Sometimes I take things for granted, and I shouldn't. In the Hebrew language, you read from right to left, not from left to right. And some of you have been a little bit confused as I put these Hebrew letters on the screen to wonder why I say Aleph and Tav, and you think I should say Tav and Aleph. And the reason for that is because we have the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet on the screen for you to be able to see. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And I want you to see how fantastic this is. Most of us are familiar with Genesis 1:1, which says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Most of us have looked at that verse many, many times. Genesis 1:1. You will notice, and I want to point this out to you, that in the first line you have an emphasis upon in the, and then you have beginning, and then you have Elohim, which is the name for God. What's amazing to me is that if you'll look carefully at this passage of Scripture, and I don't expect you to be able to read the Hebrew, but you will be able to see when I point out to you that in this first verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we discover that there's word one, word 2, word 3, and word 4. If you're looking at this, you're going to be able to see that word for is what I've just put on the screen for you to see. Now, the reason I'm doing this is some months ago I presented this, and then last Sunday I presented this, and I'm aware of the fact that repetition is good for the soul. And I'm also aware that oftentimes we have to hear it and see it time and time again for it to really make a difference in our lives. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we have these words in the Hebrew language, and we have word 1, word 2, word 3, and then the fourth word, which is not a word, it is actually the two letters, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Most of us are aware of the fact that in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That's the Greek language of the Alpha being the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega being the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So Jesus is saying in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In essence, he's saying, not only am I the beginning and the end, but I'm everything in between. Now, what you have to understand is that when you're looking at the verse 1 of Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you will not have translated the two letters, the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so what we can do is reread Genesis 1:1 in this following fashion. In the beginning, the A to Z God, Jesus, created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you're following along, you're able to see, and last Sunday you received all this information in relationship how to pronounce all the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and we pointed out to you that the first letter is Aleph, and the last letter is Tav, which is down here. You can see it. All right? Now, moving this away, let's see what we have here. What's amazing is, in the beginning, the two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the A and the Z, we have the fact that there's an emphasis upon the same individual who said in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Here he's saying, I'm the Aleph and the Tav. All right. What we conclude from this is that Jesus is hidden in Genesis 1:1. And I would like for you to somehow mark in your Old Testament in Genesis 1:1 that here we have the hidden Jesus. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We want to repeat. The fourth word of the original text is a word that has been omitted from the English translation. And the word reveals Jesus Christ in a profound way. Actually, the word omitted is not a word. In fact, that's the reason why the translators did not handle it or put it into the translation. The omitted word, however, not a word, but two letters, the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Some of you are going to say, well, I think he's repeating himself. And I want you to know that is exactly what I'm doing. The omitted word, which is not a word, but the two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the first letter of the alphabet and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's Aleph on the one hand and there's Tav on the other hand. We translate these two letters in this way. In the beginning, the A to Z God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus reveals in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. That is precisely what the two Hebrew letters are saying. I am the beginning and the end, and I'm everything in between. So Jesus said in Genesis 1:1, and Jesus said in Revelation 1:8, I am the A, and I am the Z, the one who is, the one who was, and the one to come. And so I have to ask a question now. Is this clear to you? Do you understand it? Have you heard it enough for it to make sense? All right. The question then is, who created the world? This hidden Genesis 1:1 is the one who created the world, Jesus, but not revealed in the first verse of the Bible. In fact, what you find in John 1:3, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Be sure that you put down somewhere in your notes John chapter 1, verse 3, in the light of Revelation 1:8, and in the light of Genesis 1:1. John 1:3 says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. This lets you and me know that the Lord Jesus Christ was alive before he was born. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? I'm talking about when he was born into the flesh as the God-man, which is an emphasis upon the hypostatic union. Jesus is clearly identified then as the Creator God, the A to Z God, who created everything that was created. So I've said to myself over and over again, as I look at this, this is a profound confirmation of the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our study tonight is back in Psalm 119. Would you do me a favor and turn in your Bible to Psalm 119? And I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to notice some things that we have in Psalm 119. We have the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet lined up for us throughout this magnificent 176 verses. If you'll notice in your Bible, you probably already have that in the first 8 verses, there is an emphasis upon the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. Most Bibles have this written. I'm sure that you probably have it in yours. So I want you to see what we are trying to emphasize. And that is, and you'll not be able to read this from where you're sitting, and that's okay, because we included all this information in the bulletin last Sunday. But what we have here is that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It is the chapter with 176 verses, and each of the 8 verses have a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. For instance, there's Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, and on down the line. And each one of those letters of the Hebrew alphabet have 8 verses. The first letter of the alphabet is Aleph, and there are 8 verses. The next letter, the second letter in the alphabet, there are 8 verses. The next letter, 8 verses. The next letter, 8 verses. All the way through 22 times, including all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, I don't know how to say that in any other way other than to tell you that last Sunday in the bulletin, we included all this information. We included Aleph, Psalm 119, 1 through 8. Beth, the second letter of the alphabet, Psalm 119, 9 through 16. Gimel, the third letter of the alphabet, Psalm 119, 17 to 24. All you have to do is go through your Bible and you'll be able to see every 8 verses a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Trying to be nice to you, we even let you know how to pronounce the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So we have an insert last Sunday and you have it. Now I want to let you know that sometimes I enjoy repeating things because I feel like it's kind of funny. It is said that the Scottish reformer, George Wishart, when he was about to be executed for heresy, was asked what passage of Scripture he would like read before he was hanged. He was expecting a pardon, but it hadn't arrived, and he was standing on the gallows with a noose around his neck. So he said, the passage I would like for you to read is Psalm 119. knowing that that has 176 verses. The story goes on that just as the priest was finishing reading those 176 verses, a rider arrived carrying Wishart's pardon. Someone said, "It's a good thing Wishart's favorite Bible verse wasn't Jesus wept." Now, you folks, I think that's really funny. Now, the reason the psalm is so long is that it is actually an acrostic poem. Each stanza is made up of eight lines, which I've already said, and each stanza, those eight lines all begin with the same letter of that particular letter of the alphabet in those eight verses. Every line in the first stanza begins with Aleph, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Then the second stanza, each line begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Beth, and so on through the whole Hebrew alphabet, which gives us 22 stanzas and an emphasis on 22 verses and 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I hope you're willing to stay all night with us tonight, because we're going to take these 22 verses of the alphabet, which means we're going to take 176 verses of Psalm 119. Some of you are already tired just by announcing that. But I want you to see something, a summary of the Hebrew alphabet. If you will, do me a favor and let's go to the first eight verses of Psalm 119, which has to do with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. I read, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. Thou hast ordained Thy precepts, that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep Thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I look upon all Thy commandments, I shall give thanks to Thee with uprightness of heart. When I learn Thy righteous judgments, I shall keep Thy statutes. Do not forsake me utterly." Here the psalmist is giving us some fantastic information. We have what we would classify as the ability to meditate and pray. In relationship to God's wonderful word, that's what we find verse after verse throughout these 176 verses of Psalm 119. Look at the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Beth. Verse 9, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to Thy word. With all my heart I have sought Thee. Do not let me wander from Thy commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on Thy precepts and regard Thy ways. I shall delight in Thy statutes. I shall not forget Thy word." Already you're able to see that the psalmist is getting us ready to move through the various letters of the Hebrew alphabet in these magnificent eight verses on each one of those letters, to see how great God's word and God's plan is for us. The third letter is Gimel, if you'll notice, beginning with verse 17. "Deal bountifully with Thy servant, that I may live and keep Thy word." You remember that we preached on this last Sunday, "Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from Thy word. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide Thy commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after Thine ordinances at all times. Thou dost rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from Thy commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, For I observe thy testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, thy servant meditates on thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Now, some of you have wondered, preacher, are you going to read slowly tonight all of those 176 verses? On the screen, you're going to begin to see a little summary, and we're going to move even more rapidly now. You're not going to have time to read each of the eight verses on each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You'll notice that Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, is Aleph, the first part of the psalm. Blessed are they that are faithful and keep God's ways, sincerely knowing that they would be blessed by God. The psalmist desired to be steadfast before God and to obey his decrees. That's what you have summarized in the first eight verses, which is the letter Aleph. Psalm 119, 9 through 16, which we've read, Beth, is one of the second. It's the second part of the psalm. And it says, in essence, a young man can live upright life by keeping God's word. Let me pause and let you see how fantastic that is. What is the psalmist saying? A young man can live an upright life by keeping God's word. The psalmist wanted to seek God from his heart and not stray from the commands of God. The psalmist wanted to meditate on God's precepts and live an upright lifestyle. That's what you have in this second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The third one is Gimel. It's presented to us in Psalm 119, 17 to 24. The psalmist prayed that God would be kind to him. He prayed for God to open his eyes. We've already preached on that, so that he would be able to see the wonderful things in God's word. God rebukes the arrogant who don't keep God's commandments. Although other people slander him, he will continue to meditate on God's decrees. Now that takes us, and we've already read the first letter, first verses, it takes us to Daleth, which is the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Psalm 119, 25 to 32. Here the psalmist knew that he must come to God with a humble heart. He prayed for God to preserve his life according to his word. He prayed that God would keep him from being involved in deceitful ways and help him to walk in his commandments. It's impossible for you to take all the information that I'm giving you, but I'm trying to give you a brief little summary of each of the eight verses in each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The fifth one is presented to us in Psalm 119, 33 to 40. Hey, the psalmist asked God to give him understanding and help him to walk in his commandments. He prayed for God to not lead him away from anything that would be not in keeping with God's plan for his life. And then we go to Vav, the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, in Psalm 119, 41 to 48. And here we have that the psalmist prayed that God send deliverance to him according to his promise, so that the one who is taunting him will be put to shame. The psalmist wanted to meditate on God's words and walk in God's commandments. How fantastic. The next letter is Zain, is the seventh letter in Psalm 119, 49 to 56. The psalmist here prayed that God remember his promise and comfort him. The psalmist felt somewhat angry because of his enemies, but he kept on remembering God's wonderful words and began to continue the lifestyle of practicing those words. The next one is Chet in Psalm 119, 5, 57 to 64, which is the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Here, God is the heritage of the psalmist. The psalmist said that he will remember God's laws and follow his commandments, even though he's attacked by his enemies. You can see that I want to tell you more on each one of these eight verses, but I can't do it and take us through the 22 letters. Psalm 119, 65 to 72 is the ninth letter, Teth. The psalmist prayed for God to be good for him and to him. He even prayed that God will give him wisdom so that he would know how to make good judgments. I think all this is very applicable to us today. We must pray that God will help us to make good decisions day by day. We discover that the emphasis of the scripture says that previously he had gone astray and faced various problems, but now he is changed in his promise to keep God's commandments. The law of God is now precious to him. The scripture says in these verses, like silver and gold. The tenth part is Job in Psalm 119, 73 to 80. The psalmist asks for understanding to learn God's commandments. How neat this is. He prayed that he would be a good role model so that others will rejoice when they see the testimony of God in him. He asked God to take vengeance on the arrogant and put them to shame because they wronged him without cause. It's interesting to see what all is going on in the psalmist's mind in these verses. And he promised to meditate on God's commandments. That takes us to the 11th letter, which is Kaf, in Psalm 119, 81 to 88. In this one, the psalmist is in trouble, and he's been longing for deliverance. So he prays that God quickly send protection and punish his persecutors. He prayed for God to preserve his life according to his love. He promised to obey and to walk in God's words. Isn't it interesting to see how each one of these eight verses are presenting to us the heart of the writer? Psalm 119, 89 to 96 is the 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Lamed. God's words are eternal. That's presented in this section, eight verses. Whatever God said will come into fulfillment, although sometimes, the psalmist says, it will take a long time. God is faithful and will always keep his promises. That's what you find in these eight verses. The psalmist said he will never forget God's commandments and will always walk in them because it's by observing God's commandment that God will preserve his life, take care of him. The psalmist asked God in these eight verses to deliver him from his enemies who are waiting always to destroy him. That takes us to the 13th letter. Some of you are saying, are we going to get through 22? Yes, we are. Stay with us. In Psalm 119, 97 to 104, we have the Hebrew word mem. It's the 13th letter of the psalm. The psalmist loved God's laws presented in this passage of scripture and meditated on them. What we have is the psalmist saying learning God's commandments has made him wiser than his enemies, even made him wiser than his teachers, some of them, and wiser than the elders. God has kept him from evil ways so that he will walk in God's commandments. God's words are sweeter than honey to the psalmist. I thought this was interesting. God's words are sweeter than honey to the psalmist. Through learning God's laws, he gained understanding in living an upright lifestyle. Now, the scripture says in these eight verses that he's come to despise the wrong path. How interesting that is. The 14th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Nun in Psalm 119, 105 to 112. God's word is a lamp unto the psalmist's feet, a light for his path. If you remember, we preached on this last Sunday at the second session. He has taken an oath to let God's word guide him and follow God's righteous laws. The psalmist prayed for God to preserve his life and to deliver him from his enemies. He prayed that God would protect him so that he would not stray from the commandments of the Lord. His heart is set on keeping God's word to the end of his life. How fantastic that is. That takes us then to the 15th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Sama. Psalm 119, 113 to 120. In these eight verses, the psalmist hates double-minded people who hate God's laws. This is an interesting word because oftentimes we have words like love and words like hate that mean something different than what we would classify as they would mean to us today. But here, he trusted God's word. He takes refuge in God. God rejected anyone who did not keep even one of his commandments. Therefore, the psalmist is saying here that he loves God's commandments and would tremble in fear before him. The next letter, which is the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, is Ayin, Psalm 119, verses 121 to 128. If you're following your Bible, you're seeing where I'm getting all of these various sections. Here in this passage, 8 verses, the psalmist prayed for God to protect him from his oppressors because he said, I've kept God's commandments and I've done the right thing. He still did not see God's deliverance at times and was expecting to receive it. So the psalmist in this passage prays for God to deal with him and teach him his decrees according to his love. He loved his commandments more than the gold. And I thought that was also very interesting. The next letter is the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Pei, Psalm 119, 129 to 136. You'll notice that the psalmist here wanted to obey God's commandments, knowing that they're always wonderful. He gives understanding to simple-minded people, the scripture says here. I think that should be comforting to all of us. He prayed for God to turn him to him and have mercy on him like he would always do for those who respond properly to him. He prayed God would rescue him from his oppressors so that he could obey the commandments of God. That takes us to the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Zati, Psalm 119, 137 to 144. Here the psalmist says God is righteous and God is faithful in keeping his promises. God's laws are always right so that a person would have a proper understanding on living an upright lifestyle. The psalmist here promised to keep God's commandments, although at times he discovered that his life was a lowly life. I wonder, as I'm making my way rapidly through these 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, I wonder if it's somehow registering with you the necessity of going and reading carefully each of the 8 verses and each of the 22 letters of this magnificent 100th Psalm. In Psalm 119, 145 to 152, Kaf is the 19th part of the Psalm. The psalmist called out to God to deliver him. He's trusted in God's word, has placed his hope and trust in God's word. He's prayed that God would hear his prayer and preserve his life. That's the 19th letter. Let's look at the next letter, which is 20. Psalm 119, 153 to 160. It's the Hebrew word resh. The psalmist called upon God to look upon his suffering and deliver him. He prayed for God to defend him, protect him again from his enemies. What the psalmist is saying here is there are many enemies coming against him, but he has not turned from God's statutes, God's word. This should teach us something, and that is that as we face the various problems of life, all of us will face many difficulties. And the psalmist is saying here, don't turn away from God's wonderful word. All God's words are true, and all God's words are eternal. That takes us to the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Shin, Psalm 119, 161 to 168. Here the psalmist continues to be steadfast before God. And interesting enough, the scripture says he trembles at his word, even though he is being persecuted by rulers without a cause. He rejoiced in God's promises. He hated things that were false. He offered praises to God for 7 times a day, the scripture says, in these 8 verses. And then we have those who follow God's laws will enjoy peace and happiness. And here we have emphasized in the next to the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet that he loved and obeyed God's wonderful words. That takes us to letter 22, Tav. We've already emphasized tonight that Jesus is the Aleph and the Tav. He's the beginning and the end. We try to show that to you in various ways. Tav is the 22nd and final part of the psalm. The psalmist here prays that his cry will reach to God and that God will deliver him according to his promises. He longed for deliverance. When you find the word salvation, it doesn't mean just salvation in the sense of being saved from God's by God's grace, but the emphasis here is on deliverance. He longed for God's deliverance and was delighting in God's laws. You may never forget the fact that we've emphasized tonight 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The whole emphasis is on the Word of God. And we've concluded here, and we've seen this many, many times, the only way to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ is to know and love the Word of God. You ought to put this conclusion down if you don't already have it somewhere in your notes. The Word of God, the only way to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the Word of God means that we have to be consistent. Consistent intake that leads to occupation with Jesus Christ. Every day when we study God's Word, we pray and study God's Word, we're consistent in the intake of the mind of Jesus Christ. We're able to see then as God sees, from a vertical viewpoint. Not from a human viewpoint, but from a vertical viewpoint. Number three, when the Word is received while we're filled with the Spirit, we then come to a point of being occupied with Jesus Christ. The fourth point you see on the screen, the Word of God. The Word of God is a source of vertical viewpoint. And number five, and the last one, God's Word produces stability in the soul. How wonderful it is to know that we can be stable believers. We can be strong, not depending upon ourselves, our own ingenuity, our own abilities, our own strength, but know that God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. God will give us what we need. We're to trust Him and depend upon it day by day. I'm stopping a little early tonight because I know that some of you would like to visit with Don and Joy Fueling and maybe even ask them some questions. And so if you do, we'll have about 10 minutes or more for them to do that. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful this evening for the challenge of your wonderful word. We're thankful for this psalm and for the opportunity which we have to look at these magnificent verses, a challenge to all of our hearts. We're thankful also that we've been reminded again tonight that Jesus Christ is found in every book of the Old Testament, in fact, every book of the Bible. And we are able to see how fantastic it is to see how Jesus Christ works emphatically and triumphantly on a day-by-day basis in the lives of individuals and has through the years. For those who hear the message tonight who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to understand that the greatest decision ever to be made in life is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that there will be those who will do that. We realize that the Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.